Good morning, friends. It's a real joy for me to be with you again. And we come now to the third gospel in the New Testament. Last week we were taking up a little survey of the gospel through Mark, and the week before the gospel through Matthew. Now we come to one of the most amazing gospels that we are given in the four testimonies that the Lord has given to us through these men. And Luke is the longest of the Gospels. There are 24 chapters and 1,151 verses. It's longer than Matthew or John or Mark. In fact, Mark is the shortest one, and Luke is the longest one. And the great purpose of Luke is, did God come into our presence as a man and live as a man? Was this Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, a real man? It's a rather an amazing thing when you come to the gospel through Luke of how much there is in this gospel that is not in the other three. It's well worth our time to spend a few moments in this wonderful gospel through Luke. I think it's one of the most precious books we have in the New Testament. Allow me to read the first three or four verses of Luke chapter 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. May I reread the last part of verse 3 and also verse 4? I want to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, lover of God, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Remember that Luke was the physician who traveled with the Apostle Paul. And I'm of the persuasion, because of the very detail that Luke writes, that he must have had some conversation and some meeting with Mary, the mother of our Savior. It's an amazing thing how Luke the physician noticed certain things which he wrote down, which are not found in the other Gospels. But first of all, was this Jesus of Nazareth the Son of Man? You remember that he took his place in humanity, and by so doing, he revealed the very heart and the very character of God. What is God like? Do you ever stop to think of it? What is God like? I come to the gospel through Luke, and I find the Lord Jesus, the Son of Man, fulfilling, you remember, Zechariah, behold the man who is the branch, or in chapter 13, behold the man who is my fellow, my equal, saith the Lord. What is God like? In creation, I see the handiwork of God. I see the majesty of God. I see the power of God. I'm not surprised when one comes to the 29th Psalm, for example, the God of glory thundered. There you see majesty, power, authority. The God of glory appeared unto Abraham and said, God. And Abraham got out. Who wouldn't when the God of glory appeared? And you remember the 24th Psalm, he's the King of glory. But what is he like? I can examine creation in all its detail with a microscope, or take the telescope and behold the heavens and the various creations of the heavens. And I see, I repeat it, I see the majesty and the power, the omnipotence of God. But what is he like? Can I approach him? Can I know him? Does he have time for me? I come to the gospel through Luke. There is given to us the wonderful story of Jesus of Nazareth, God's man in the midst of men. If I were teaching the gospel through John, I would point out he was God manifest in the flesh. But when you come to Luke's gospel, what a revelation of the heart of God, the compassion of God, the tenderness of God. You remember that one time, and if I may be allowed to go to John for a moment, in John 14, and verse 8 and 9 and 10, where one of the disciples said to the Lord Jesus, "Show us the Father, and that's enough." And the Lord Jesus said, "Have I been so long time with you, and don't you know me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." But how was the Father made known? He went on to say, "The words that I speak unto you are not mine, they're my Father's. And the works which I do are not mine, they are my Father's." And when I come to the gospel through Luke, there is the wonderful revelation of the heart of God. I've oftentimes put it this way: all that I know of God is what I know of Jesus. And all that I know of Jesus is what I know of God. You see, the heart of God, the character of God, is revealed in His Son. I repeat this. Is God compassionate? He certainly is. You can't read this gospel through Luke without realizing He's a God of compassion. Is He tender? Full of it. Is He loving? Does He care for us? Does He love us? Is He compassionate toward us? Does He understand us? And sometimes when I read this gospel through Luke, I'm amazed at the fact, and I shouldn't be, that Jesus Christ was possibly the one who really understood people. Even when the disciples would ask the Lord to send somebody away because they were a bother to the disciples, they were never a bother to Him. He could enter right into the heart, into the life of the ones with whom He was dealing, and could give them a perfect answer and a perfect deliverance. Oh, what a wonderful thing. I wish, my friend, you could read that gospel through Luke through over and over and over again, because it is the gospel of human interest. Here He took His place in humanity. He knew something of real joy, and He knew something of real sorrow. And when Dr. Luke writes, he writes as a one who knew something about it. You can't read about Elizabeth and Zechariah, for example, in the first chapter, and Mary leaving Nazareth and going up to the hills in Judea to visit Elizabeth without realizing the wonderful detail of this gospel through Luke. And the observance of Mary, and as she related this, I believe, to this man Luke. And he gives to us, indeed, as I said a moment ago, he gives to us the gospel of human interest. Just what a doctor would write. You have family life, the family life in Nazareth, in Bethany. You have the question of meals and eating and the lost coin and the prodigal son and the importune prayer. And one could go on, which I'm not for a moment going to go into. But I do want to get a little, can I say it? I would like to see a real hunger born in your hearts to read and to reread and to reread this gospel through Luke. It's a wonderful gospel. You see, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ as the great liberator. He liberates from death. He liberates from sin. He liberates people from the power of Satan. When Jesus came to the earth, He found a human family under this threefold bondage. He found it under the bondage of death. He found it under the bondage of sin. He found it under the power of Satan. So one is not surprised that when you start to read the gospel through Luke, the very first miracle in Luke's gospel, which is found in chapter 4, we find here that he delivered a man from the power of hell, from the power of Satan. He found this man demon-possessed in the synagogue, in the church, if you please. Here's a man who was demon-possessed right in the synagogue, right in the church, right in the meeting. How often he had been there, I don't know. But I know one thing, that when he came into the synagogue, when our Savior stood up to read the word of God, he had immediate opposition from this man. And the Lord Jesus immediately manifest His authority and cast the demons out. Here He came to a human race dominated by the powers of Satan, dominated by the power of sin and under the fear and bondage of death. What's he going to do? As God's man in the midst of men, what can he do? He came as a man for the purpose of delivering men and women from this threefold bondage. You remember, the Lord Jesus delivered three people from death. Let me change the wording there when I say he manifested his authority over death by raising three people from the dead in his brief ministry among men. There was a little girl, the daughter of Jairus. You find this in Luke chapter 8. Now the daughter of Jairus, she was his only girl, only child, girl about 12 years of age. She was the apple of her father's eye. And you remember that the Lord Jesus raised her from the dead. She had just died. Just died. Notice this. The little girl had just died. In chapter 7 of Luke, he met a funeral procession on the way to burial. And he stopped the procession because the one who was to be buried was a young man, the only son of his widowed mother. And the Lord, in wonderful compassion, as he saw this thing, raised the boy from the dead and delivered him back to his mother. A little girl, a young man. And then if I may go out of the gospel through Luke into the gospel through John, where we have the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And Lazarus was a full-grown man, and he was in corruption 4 days before the Lord raised him from the dead. A little girl just died. The young man on his way to the tomb, and Lazarus already in the tomb. By the way, did you notice something? The little girl had not gone into corruption. The young man was on his way to corruption, and Lazarus is already in corruption. May I say to you, Christians, if I may take this moment, isn't it time we reached the boys and the girls with the gospel of Christ before they get into corruption? Because they're not only saved as children and receive life abundant, but their life is saved for God. Now, the young man, and we need to reach young men, they're on the way to corruption. Let's meet them with the gospel that can give them a new life, a real life in Christ. And what shall I say of Lazarus? Yes, even those who are in corruption, he can raise from the dead. I'll continue this tomorrow. But I want you to read the gospel through Luke. This wonderful gospel of Jesus as a real man in the midst of men, and the Lord wonderfully bless you.